Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And now they're in the quarterback sneak formation. The tush push from the one, first and goal, Eagles. And under centers, the quarterback Hurts. He gets the snap. They shove him across. It is an Eagle touchdown. And there is your first score in Super Bowl 59. And with the signature Philly play, a one-yard touchdown quarterback sneak.
I have the easiest job, to be honest. I think I'm the one who pushes the tush.
That was Saquon Barkley. That was Westwood One Super Bowl. You know the voice of Kevin Harlan. This is Rahimi and Harris. We're going to push ahead. We're going to push it real good. Anthony Heron in for Layla Rahimi. She's on Sky Duty tonight. Color commentary on the call for the broadcast of the Sky versus the Liberty later on tonight, right here on 670 The Score. That game, pregame starts at 6:45, by the way, on that one. And Ant, that tush push, we all thought it was going away, but it's going to be around for at least another year after the NFL owners failed to get the 75% of teams needed, 24 votes. They only got 22 in their attempts to ban the tush push. And because we got Ben Johnson at the podium yesterday afternoon, we got to hear his thoughts on it. And surprisingly enough, he was asked about it. And what he said was crazy to me anyway. And I'll let you hear what he had to say, and then we can react. Here's Ben Johnson on the tush push.
What are your thoughts on the tush push? It's going to stick around. Group of teams tried to overturn it. The vote did not pass.
Man, I tell you what, does it become an explosive play ever? Have you ever seen a tush push become an explosive play?
Does it become a first down or a touchdown?
Yeah, I like explosive play. I like big plays. So I'm not a big tush push guy myself.
Get him, Bigsy.
Let me tell you something. That was Brad Biggs asking the question. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now, Ben Johnson. I love the idea of you bringing the top offense in the NFL to the city of Chicago. But one part of being the top offense in the NFL is the ability to convert on third and fourth and short. And the way you kind of dismiss that gives me pause, because what I heard there was a level of confidence that bordered on cockiness that could be misconstrued or maybe accurately described as arrogance. And I'll tell you this, you better be able to convert on third and one and fourth and one each and every time, talking right the way you just talked about a play that has been unstoppable for so many people.
The tush push, the brotherly shove, you know, however we want to call it, this current iteration of the QB sneak is something that I was floored, despite all the reporting on the tush push is going away and how the league was now against it and everybody was ganging up on the Eagles. I was still floored. There were only 10 teams that voted against banning the tush push. And the Bears of all teams, the monsters of the Midway, the charter members of the Black and Blue Division, they were not one of the teams who felt the tush push is okay, who did not vote against the ban of the tush push. I don't understand that. And then you factor in that the Lions, Ben Johnson's old stop, Ben Johnson's old boss, Dan Campbell, there in Detroit with the Lions. Dan Campbell was one of the coaches, one of the teams that voted against banning the tush push. Like, this is where Ben Johnson cut his teeth. This is where Ben Johnson became one of the great offensive play callers in the sport. Was working for Dan Campbell, working with Dan Campbell, running that Detroit offense that, yes, had excellent quarterback play, put up a bunch of points, great passing yards, but they ran the ball with physicality. So I don't get it. And this is the very first thing out of all the things we've heard from Ben Johnson, the poetry, the jokes, the interviews, everything else that Ben Johnson has uttered. This is the very first time Ben Johnson has said anything that's disappointed me. I was very, very disappointed to hear that he is apparently one of the guys who's been advocating against the tush push. Why?
I try to sort this out because I wonder, is this a Ben Johnson directive? And you would think it would be, because he's the man in charge of football, the on-the-field football that is played, the head coach of the Chicago Bears. And we heard George McCaskey very clumsily and awkwardly talk about the tush push, the brotherly shove, if you will. And I think this all fell apart because they've been citing safety reasons.
Right.
And that was safety reasons every time you step on a football field.
Yeah.
I could find no data, no supporting argument that definitively explained why this was a safety issue. And knowing George McCaskey's vote, I wonder if that was the organizational stance and then Ben Johnson fell on top of it. But that doesn't make sense, because why would you not listen to Ben Johnson if he was okay with it? And I want to know, why is your philosophy different than the head coach? And it's possible, obviously, that can happen. You can have philosophical differences if you're Ben Johnson compared to the old place where you used to run the football at will in Detroit. But I just want to know, what's the difference here? What is it that you're seeing that allows you to believe that this is bad for the game of football, except for we just can't stop the Eagles?
There are elements of the game of football, the violent sport that is football. My old high school coach, Phil Acton, the Silver Fox at Bolingbrook High School, he used to always tell us, dancing is a contact sport. Football is a collision sport. So you got to get your helmet on. You got to get your chin strapped up and ready to collide with people on the football field. You got to move folks against their will, especially in those short yardage scenarios that I have yet to hear. Maybe they exist, but I haven't heard football players themselves railing against the tush push. Maybe they're out there. I don't know. But those aren't voices that I've heard saying that they believe this should be banned or outlawed. There's aspects of the game where you can find folks to say that, well, okay, maybe it's made the game softer that the secondary can't headhunt with the physicality they used to. But I get it. There's folks who will tell you that the way that the offseason has been adjusted and there's no more two-a-days, you can't pad up in mini camps and OTAs, that that's made it more difficult to actually perform on the line of scrimmage early in the season. But for the most part, players get that as well. This, I don't hear, I haven't heard from a competitive or a safety perspective arguments that have legitimately been made on both sides of this that somehow the tush push is impacting the safety of the game. It's a QB sneak that just has an additional couple of bodies near the football rummaging in there against each other rugby style. This isn't something that in my space, My orbit of communication, the football players are out here saying it's some kind of safety issue.
Listening to Dan Campbell, this is quick, it's short, but it's to the point about his stance on the brotherly shove or tush push.
Like for me, I'm like, hey man, they like Philly obviously is known for this because, you know, they're the ones who've really kind of perfected it and done it, do it over and over. And I'm like, man, good for them. And if you got something, we got to stop it. So, like, to me, leave it in. And, you know, we play them this year. We got to find a way to stop it. And I like that.
Dan Campbell's not afraid of anything.
No.
And his teams have performed on the field in a manner in which you want your head coach to do so. And to lead them to be able to have that supreme confidence, as it were, that we can stop anything, we can do anything we want on offense. And even if it doesn't come to fruition, just the belief in itself, it elevates your entire franchise, your fan base, your
city. And it's so basic, Mark. That's the thing. It's just basic. It's lining up with the QB under center. Everybody knows we're going to run QB sneak. Tom Brady was not some guy who squatted 500 pounds like Jalen Hurts. He was incredible at the QB sneak during his career. Didn't hear anybody railing against the Patriots using QB sneak throughout Tom Brady's career. The Philadelphia Eagles push folks around. So Jalen Hurts as a passer is not accomplished to the same extent as some of the most gifted passers in football. But this is a part of his game. His physicality, his mobility was a big part of what made him great in college. And they have found a formula where that enhances the Philadelphia Eagles to the point where now they have been another Super Bowl champion. The fact that folks are voting against the Eagles pushing them around, that's anti-football. That's far against just what the premise of this sport is supposed to be about. It just shocks me. There was only 10 teams in the National Football League that were willing to vote against banning people pushing each other around in football.
A lot of people thinking that this is about the commissioner trying to get his pet project through. This is one of the things he wanted to see go away because he didn't like the way that one game went where you have an official stepping up to the screen to millions and millions of people at home explaining, I'm going to award this team a touchdown if you guys jump over the line of scrimmage one more time. Talking about the Washington Commanders trying to stop said tush push. I want to, the most entertaining of the new acquisitions, for the Chicago Bears is Grady Jarrett, the defensive tackle. Listen to what he had to say just yesterday about the tush push staying alive.
I mean, shoot, you got to stop it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, at the end of the day, I saw the news. They're going to, you know, I mean, you got to stop it. You know what I'm saying? It's been stopped before, not at a high rate, but don't let them get 3rd-and-1. Don't let them get 4th-and-1. You know what's coming. You know what I'm saying? I played Philly a lot of times. They're a tough group. And, you know, they have a combination of players and a quarterback to make it very, you know, successful. So at the end of the day, you can't, I mean, the rules are the rules, and you got to find a way to stop it.
Have you ever felt like it was a dangerous play when you were playing in it? Or
I don't think nobody got, like, hurt yet. So, I mean, that's what they have a legit argument. I don't think nobody getting hurt. I mean, you know, it's a compromise of positions that, you know, guys are down in, like, but, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. You know, can't cry over something you can't change.
The part about Grady Jarrett there is he says the rules are the rules. Well, that was the whole point, Grady. They tried to change the rules because they don't like the rules. Rules can be changed. Rules can be changed. But I think Grady has a pretty pedestrian attitude towards it because it's here. It's here to stay for at least another year. And you got to deal with it. Man up, right? Is it that simple, man up? That's how I see it.
These situations in game, if you're a lineman, really at any level of the sport, but especially once you get to major college football, professional football, in the NFL, and it's 4th-and-1, and everybody in the world knows that the team who's going to win advantage right here is just the team who's tougher, the team who's more physical, the team who moves somebody in a direction that they don't want to go to. That's the genesis of the sport. That's what this thing is supposed to be about. And the idea that the majority of the teams in the National Football League want to ban, that is beyond me, man. There's a lot of stuff where folks complain about the sport getting soft and this and that, that I feel like is overreaction. This, I don't understand why the majority of the league would look to ban a play as simplistic as this. It is the genesis of the sport of football, and you don't have like the whole all the special team stuff, stop all these bodies flying 60 yards wildly down the field and limbs gangling all over the place. Yeah, okay, your body's out of control in that scenario. Here, the ball gets snapped, you run into each other, and somebody gains an advantage. The Eagles happen to be the team who've perfected it to championship advantage. But it's not because they've got some schematic edge. They're just more physical than everybody who lines up across from them. So the answer is not to ban it. The answer is to be better, to be more physical, to gain more leverage. That's all it comes down to.
All right, we've got some breaking news here. Breaking news on the score brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This from Frank Saravalli, noted hockey insider who has apparently found out who the next head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks will be after a long and tenuous wait. The assistant coach with the Tampa Bay Lightning, Jeff Blasher, will take over for the Chicago Blackhawks. Of course, he was formerly the head coach of the Detroit Red Wings for years, and now he's coming to Chicago to try to energize, teach, and take a young core to the next level. The biggest of those players being generational talent, phenom, Connor Bedard, who has not gotten off to the best of starts to his NHL career, but he will get a new chance with Jeff Blashill, who was the head coach of the Detroit Red Wings between 2015 and 2022. And listen, we talk about teams all the time that look like they are rudderless and that they're maybe stuck on a treadmill. The teams that play winter sports professionally in this town, they fit the mold of that. When you talk about the Chicago Bulls and the Chicago Blackhawks, you're hoping this hire now can take them in the right direction, give them some direction, hopefully towards a winning record. That's the first step. Win and get Connor Bedard playing at an all-star level.
And you wonder, is this hire, bringing Blashill in, will he be a guy who's mainly a placeholder? Because the Blackhawks are a team right now that I would imagine don't feel like the most desirable job in the sport at the moment. But then there's only 30 of them. So if you're looking for a head coach, looking for somebody to be highly compensated, then there will be folks who are willing to come in and try to help nurture the development not only of Connor Bedard, but to help move this franchise into its next phase. Once things have been torn down and now you've got a young core that you believe you'll be in a position to build around. So now you got to nurture the talents of Connor Bedard. And there was a sophomore dip for Bedard. So can you get more out of him than the Blackhawks got last season? Will Jeff Blashill come in and just be sort of the placeholder for the manager who can come in and actually take them back to some sort of a postseason Stanley Cup sort of chase? Or is he the guy that's just going to, you know, try to actually have the gig short term and, you know, perhaps not be a part of that development? You would really hope he'll be someone who can stay long term here, but it's not necessarily a resume that you feel like that's a guarantee or a sure shot.
Kyle Davidson certainly making his selection as the general manager for the Blackhawks. It'll be interesting to see if Connor Bedard's third season is different from the first two seasons. Of course, he missed time in that first year with a broken jaw, but he played all 82 games last year, scoring 67 points over that time after scoring 61 points in 68 games in his rookie season.